It's time for the all-new Gervie's Law, cross-examining the ages, with your host, Alan Gervie, and introducing your co-host, Michelle Lobato. Alan is the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan, Gervie & Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm which has represented injured workers for over 40 years. And now, here's your host, Alan Gervie.
Hi, I am Alan Gervie, and this is Gervie's Law, and I'm here once again with Michelle Lobato. Hi, Michelle.
Hello.
Hi.
Did I have you there at hello?
Oh, my God. I am laughing so much because I don't want to embarrass you, but let's talk about football.
Okay. Soccer or American football?
No, it's football. Did you know there was a Super Bowl about a month ago?
I did. Yeah, I saw everybody went to cool parties and such.
Yeah, that's true. Do you think that's like really why they play football for the Super Bowl party?
I thought it was for the halftime show.
Oh, could be.
Yeah.
You watched that?
Mm-hmm.
But you weren't invited to any of the big Super Bowl parties?
No, not the big ones.
Well, maybe if you play your cards right today, maybe you'll get an invite next year.
Why? How so?
Well, you know, I know you're not a big sports fan, but we are really honored today because we have on our show one of the greatest sports agents of all time, if not the greatest. Now, you said you had me at hello. Is it true that you have never seen the movie Jerry Maguire?
I have not.
Okay. You have not. And we can blame it on your age.
Yes.
I think it was made before you were born.
Yes, it was in the 90s.
But I will tell you something. One of the greatest movies ever, at least having to do with sports, even though it's kind of a romantic comedy. And the inspiration for that was the greatest sports agent at that time. Did you know that?
I did, yeah.
Do you want to see that movie?
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Well, you better, because I think Lee Steinberg will be very happy to know that you have seen the movie Jerry Maguire. He is, as I said, one of the greatest sports agents ever. And of course, he's a philanthropist and an author. And we're going to talk about his newest book, which is really something else, because it's a little out of most people's comfort zones to write a book like Lee has just written. And we want to talk about that. But just for your information, Michelle, so you understand how important Lee Steinberg is to sports agency and to football and other sports as well, not just football. He's represented over 300 professional athletes, not only in football, but baseball, basketball, boxing, and the Olympics, which Winter Olympics just concluded. And he's represented the number one pick in the NFL draft, a record 8 times.
Amazing.
Do you know what that means?
He's a good negotiator.
Maybe, probably. He attended UCLA, so that's
nice.
And then UC Berkeley, and where he got his career started. And he had a sports agent called Steinberg, Murad & Dunn, but they sold the firm to Asante. Do you know who Asante is?
No.
I've often mentioned Winnipeg in our shows.
Yes.
And Asante was started in Winnipeg by a friend of mine.
Oh, nice.
Actually, who I went to high school with. He successfully negotiated over $3 billion in contracts. Now, you understand $3
billion. I understand $3 billion.
Yeah, for players including Troy Aikman, Steve Young, Patrick Mahomes, and a lot more. Yeah, a lot of cash there. But most importantly, he's probably proud of being a humanitarian because he's spent most of his career actively involved in a lot of humanitarian causes like Children Now, Children's Medical Network, Starlight Foundation, and he's endowed scholarships for places like the Special Olympics, which I support a lot, Juvenile Diabetes Foundation, and Junior Achievement. And again, he's been a consultant, not only on Jerry Maguire, but on Any Given Sunday. Have you seen that movie?
I have not.
It is a great movie. For the Love of the Game, another great movie. Arliss, an HBO show. No?
I have not. No.
Okay. We need to educate you
yes.
in sports. But here's something that you probably are really aware of, because I know you have a good heart. His fiance, Amy Studi, who's a friend of mine, has said that he is the most amazing, kind, brilliant, handsome, funny, sweet, and compassionate man ever. She wrote that in one of her social media posts.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Don't you want to meet Lee Steinberg?
Yeah, sounds like a great guy.
Lee, welcome back to Gervie's Law.
Thank you. I'm honored to be here.
Isn't that something? That introduction, I'm sure it brings back so many memories throughout your career. And I know you have had so many successes. But again, success doesn't come without adversity. And I really want to congratulate you for writing this book, The Comeback, because you were such an open book. And you've talked about the transparency that you believe in. What made you, at this point in your career, really motivated to write a book that is so touching and so important to so many people?
I thought it was valuable to share the experiences I had in battling alcohol with a larger audience. Some people are still struggling, and life will set all of us back. It could be financial, it could be health, it could be marital or relationships, it could be substance abuse. And inevitably something will happen that where someone will fall short of their dreams and be in a challenging situation. The question is, what do you do then? Can you be resilient? Can you find light at the end of the tunnel? Can you come back to get closer to your goals? My dad had two core values. One was treasure relationships, especially family. And the other was to try to make a positive difference in the world. And with this book, I'm hoping that people who are still struggling with any kind of life setback will find some inspiration and hope from it.
That's really incredible, because you didn't have to do this, and you're opening up, and the stories in the book are really something people want to hear about. It's been reviewed. It's coming out next month, or in March, actually. So this month, you have to think about why people would really respond the way they have and will in reading that. Do you think people are really looking for someone to come down to a level where they can really understand, because they've faced these obstacles, the many obstacles that you talk about in the book?
And I think that one of the chief conflicts is to break denial, so that people have problems, but they isolate and don't talk about them. And to share the fact that it doesn't really matter what your background is or what your financial status is, alcoholism, drug addiction, other problems can hit us all. And so the point is to try to find commonality, try to share, try to be transparent. I mean, I asked myself, what life would I be waiting for to talk about struggles I've had, given the fact that if people talk about these things and are more open and transparent, perhaps they can come to a solution really much quicker than isolating and being depressed and despondent.
It sounds like you worked in such a exciting environment and were maybe surrounded by a lot of alcoholism or substance abuse. But do you find that you can still have just as great of a time going to, let's say, cool events in your industry sober?
So, Michelle, it's a good question. The I call sports is Disneyland of drinking, and it's ubiquitous. It's everywhere. But what happens is, if everything goes well, next month I'll be 16 years continuously sober.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I break down how I got there with a unique fellowship and the rest of it. But once the cravings leave, which happens a few months into the process, then you can go back and live your own life. Someone once said to me, if it takes an hour of recovery activities every day, and it gives you freedom for the other 23 hours. My comeback is being a good father. My comeback is maintaining continuous sobriety. I was never worried about the ability to come back into the business world and reconstruct things. And so every day is an opportunity to deal with brain health, which I've been on that issue, and concussion for years and years, to deal with new modalities of healing and longevity, to run an aging academy where we train young people for the skill set they'll need to be successful in a sports career. And so it's all exciting. I've always felt that sports is a platform. I had all of our clients retrace roots to the high school, collegiate, and professional community, set up programs that targeted specific problems. And we can tackle through triggering imitative behavior, sex trafficking and domestic violence and racism and bullying and the environment, and every basic problem. So I'm excited every day by the opportunity to do those things.
Have any of your clients given you any pushback on that? Because I know you've been really outspoken that it's not just your job as an agent to negotiate deals and to get the best deals possible, but to give back to the community. And that's something that you've always wanted your clients to believe in. Which clients of yours have really embraced that? And have there been others that haven't?
Basically, there are so many choices that an athlete has in terms of agents. When I express that philosophy, the only people who respond to it are people with the athletes with a good heart, a pristine work ethic. So I try to screen them up front. Ward Gunn, former running back for Tampa and Atlanta, just put the 200th single mother and her family in the first home
wow.
that they'll ever own. Warren Moon has this Crescent Moon Foundation where he sent hundreds of young people to college on his scholarships. Troy Aikman was able to connect children's hospitals across the country with him and bring richness into their lives. Last year, my Super Bowl party. And Michelle, you can come next year because it's in Los Angeles.
I'm so happy to hear.
and we know how to hook her up because...
last time it was in Los Angeles, we took over Sony Studios. Patrick Mahomes, the quarterback of Kansas City, has a program called 15 and the Mahomies where he helps kids that are hungry and gives them lunches and helps kids in hospitals.
Wow.
The Urban League was our sponsor last year. We moved a family into the first home that they'll ever own by making the down payment and outfitting it. So the answer to whether someone is excited about being a role model and understands the powerful platform that pro sports has. I'll give you an example. Lennox Lewis, the heavyweight boxer, cut a public service announcement that said, real men don't hit women. And coming from that macho figure, he could trigger imitative behavior, especially in rebellious adolescents when it comes towards domestic violence, in a way that 1,000 authority figures never could.
Wow. Yeah, that's, it's really heartwarming to hear because you've made such a difference in these athletes' lives, not only from being a sports agent, but also from the human side of things. And you're talking about some really big names. These are not peripheral athletes. These are some of the best athletes in the world. And for them to be focused on these humanitarian efforts is something that I don't believe they ever thought about when they were fighting it out in high school and college, trying to get to where they wanted to get to. So, you know, when you mention someone like Troy Aikman, he wrote the foreword in your book, The Comeback. Tell us about how that came up, because I'm sure it was his honor and privilege to do so.
So Troy and I go all the way back to 1989 when Jerry Jones had just bought the Dallas Cowboys. And he not only wrote the foreword, but he's a story in the book because he gets drafted number one overall, first pick, first round. And then they had a thing called a supplemental draft. And he ended up watching the team draft another quarterback about a month after he's the first pick, and he promised the whole thing will be built around him. So that didn't help his relationship with Jimmy Johnson.
I wouldn't think so. So ask Kirk Cousins about that in Atlanta. I think he would feel the same way.
Right. And or I tell the story of Warren Moon, who comes out in 1978 at a time where there was great doubt about, in certain scouting circles, as to whether an African-American quarterback had the leadership skills and intellectual prowess to play the position. So he goes up to Canada for 6 years and then comes back to be the highest paid NFL player as a free agent with the Houston Oilers. Again, he has this Crescent Moon Foundation, and probably the highlight of my career was presenting him at the Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio, and giving that speech for him.
That's really incredible. Now, when he went up to Edmonton to play for the Eskimos at the time, who are now the Elks, were you still involved with his career? Or at that point, was that something where he left the NFL U.S. and you kind of just heard from him later?
No. I was with him every step of the day. And part of the real reward from representing athletes is the intimacy of the relationships that come from it. I think the most important skill in life is listening skills. It's, can you create trust around another human being and get them to peel back the layers of the onion so you get deeper and deeper so you understand their greatest anxieties and fears and their greatest hopes and dreams? And if you can put yourself in the other person's heart and mind and see the world the way they see it, you can move gracefully through life. But it's bonding at a deeper emotional level that's key, and not just, you know, I'm sure Michelle would agree, some men don't share their innermost feelings quite as easily.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
As women do. And so it's the essence of whatever success I might have had in life is listening, probing deeper, letting the other person reveal themselves, and then connecting with how to fulfill their dreams.
And you have a good one in Amy, because I know her as an attorney who's a very good attorney, but she has what you're talking about, that good heart and the ability to listen and hear. And I think she's on the same page as you are when it comes to helping people.
She's extraordinarily empathetic. I hit the lottery in being able to find the love of my life later in life. And she makes every day better.
Wow.
That is so
sweet. Michelle is melting right now.
Oh, my goodness.
I think she admires the fact that you can be so successful in your professional life, but at the same time being grounded.
Absolutely.
And have those kind of human emotions, which I don't know, you know, your father was a teacher. Is that something that you learned from someone who maybe wasn't involved in the limelight like you have been in your lifetime?
Well, actually, my dad was the head of the Los Angeles City Human Relations Commission, which keeps racial peace in Los Angeles. And very active in the Anti-Defamation League. He used to tell me, when you're waiting for someone to make a change in the world, someone to fix something, is my nurse picking up a piece of trash off the floor, or as major as racism or climate change? He'd say the tendency is to wait for the they or them, the amorphous they or them, to solve the problem. Older people, political figures. But he would say, son, you could wait forever. The they in life is you. You are the they. You have the responsibility for making it the world that you'd like to see.
Do you discuss your what your father taught you in the book?
I do. Look, I didn't recover alone. I was surrounded by nurturing and supportive people. Mm-hmm. I was not successful alone in 52 years of representing athletes. It was being surrounded by other talented people. And, I mean, it's key to understand that you're part of a larger extended family.
Yeah.
And you can help, you help your friends. The key to friendship is, what do you do in a time when it's not comfortable to be that person's friend? And people didn't abandon me when I struggled. They came forward and nurtured me. And so I, part of this is an attempt to extend that to pay it forward.
So
that's beautiful.
When you think about where you are now, you've come a long way, as a lot of us have, through trials and tribulations. How does life look to you as you think about where you are now and what you want to continue doing moving forward?
Oh, it's wonderful, in the sense that I still represent about 15 players, but I've been able to branch out. We just set up a new agency to represent doctors, and to give them career planning and placement and negotiation and branding and financial planning. We did a thing called the Longevity Lounge at our Super Bowl party in San Francisco, and it had hyperbaric oxygen and stem cells and Bimini and red light, NanoV, and a whole amazing set of biomed revolutions that are not only going to help athletes recover quicker and peak up energy, but for all the rest of us, it's a chance to age with maximal cognitive fitness and live a long time. I'm ready for a long run.
Seems like good health is the new wealth.
It totally is, and we're having a reset where it's preventative medicine,
mm-hmm.
That's the key, that you don't just respond to symptoms, but you do these different modalities. And I mean, kids being born now may live 120 years.
Yeah, because it's not only about preventative medicine, but also about optimization. I mean, I feel like I turn on my cell phone every day and I hear of a new supplement or a new injection or a new kind of type of therapy that you can do to optimize your health.
Bimini is hoses in a bathtub that oxygenate the water, and then the oxygen goes into your system. I do hyperbaric oxygen, which is anti-inflammatory and extends the telomeres. So the amount of exciting protocols, machines, breakthroughs, you have to stay current with it because it's happening so fast.
You know, I've asked you this before, Lee. I don't know how you have the time and energy to do so much for so many people. Is it all based on just being motivated to get things right and the transparency that you talk about?
It's having a passion to try to make this a better world, to heal suffering, to help people who can't help themselves. And I've been fortunate because in sports, we can use the profile of athletes, but there are also things I can do myself to help. I have two sons with retinitis pigmentosa, so there are a variety, which is starts with night blindness and leads to total blindness. So it's trying to promote breakthrough and healing in that case too.
When it's so personal, it's so important. And I think so many people really thank you for all the work you've done, and I'm sure your sons are very proud of it. The book is called The Comeback by Lee Steinberg, and I always have to spell it, Lee. It's L-E-I-G-H, because people are looking it up. A playbook for turning life's setbacks into victories, and people can get your book just about everywhere, right?
Well, it's in pre-order now because it comes out March 24th, but you can go to Barnes & Noble or Amazon, pre-order and get it hot off the press.
Hot off the press. It's so much fun having you on our show, Lee Steinberg. We're going to look forward to next year's Super Bowl party.
Absolutely.
I'm going to be there, I hope, as well as Michelle. Lee, again, thanks for being with us. And everyone, get The Comeback. You will really enjoy the read. Thanks for being with us, Lee.
Thank you.
All right. Take care, everyone. Thanks for listening to Gervie's Law. We'll see you next week.